9 this morning, the book of John, chapter number 9. And I want to read a verse of scripture here about this story. And I'm not going to preach long this morning, just give you a little thought on this subject. And it's about this man who was blind and the Lord healed him. Look at verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Man been blind all his life. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now stop right there just a second. These people were under the impression that either that man or his mom and daddy must have done something awful bad for their kid to be born blind. Now that's human nature for us to think that. This little boy is born blind, and automatically the first thing people think is, boy, his mom and dad must have done something awful. But Jesus corrected them and said, that's not always the case. Just because something is wrong with a child don't necessarily mean the child or the parent done anything wrong. Sometimes if a parent, mama's on drugs or something like that, it comes on down to the kid and stuff, and it's not the kid's fault. But just because something happens like that is not always a direct result of sin. Because Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned or his parents. And he wasn't saying that they had never committed a sin. They had. He was saying their sin didn't cause that blindness. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And what do you mean by that? When he left the world, who's the light of the world? We are. As long as he's in the world, he's the light. When he left, we're the light. That's what he told them. Verse 6, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. That's an unusual way of doing it. And made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Now, I want to look back at verse 1 this morning, and there's the text for the message. And as Jesus passed by. As Jesus passed by. And I want to preach this morning on that thought. The song said it one time, Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Now, in the Bible, there is no place he ever went that stayed the same. There is nobody he ever come in contact with that remained the same as they was before they contacted him. Jesus, you cannot encounter Jesus Christ and remain the same. Some were worse, some were better, but nobody's ever the same. He's the incomparable one. I mean, there's nobody can compare with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you ever meet him, really honest to goodness, meet the Lord, you'll know that nothing in this world is like him and as great as him or as wonderful as him. Now, I'm preaching about what a difference since Jesus passed by. Have you ever been to a big town or a city after the parade? Or like seeing, you know, in New York they have the Macy's Day Parade and they have all that stuff over there and people standing out here eating candy and snow cones and popcorn and drink. And I mean to tell you, when that thing's over, you don't see nothing but trash down the street. And they drop that stuff out of them buildings. And it's confetti. And it looks like snowflakes. And it just goes down there. Like when they win a ball game or something. You see, sometimes those stuff just fall down like that. Now, you know, it looks pretty when it's going by, but boy, what a mess when that thing's over. I mean, when if you walked up one of them streets, you'd say, Lord, have mercy, what has happened here? And they would say, the parade passed by. The parade came through. This is what has happened. There would be ropes and signs and balloons and little kids' gloves and toboggans scarves and no telling what. Laying there after the parade passed by. There was a result of that parade passing through. I remember when Hurricane Hugo came through several years ago, I was preaching revival down in Jefferson, South Carolina. And I went down through Charlotte, down through Monroe, and I went on down there where it hit pretty hard. And as I kept driving down 74, that big old road, I noticed a sign was blown down over here. A roof was partially tore up over a building over here. I mean, there was, sometimes the sign would just bend over like that. Other times, they'd see plywood where the windows were closed for repairs. They'd blow motel signs over. You'd think, what in the world came through here? Well, there was a difference after Hugo passed by. There was a difference after the parade. One time I was going over Lenore. I was going over to preach revival and had, Kathy Parker and Deborah Parker and them with me. And Deborah, she had this dry sense of humor. And we was going over there. And they'd been doing some work over there in a big old half of a mountain. I mean, it was trees cut down. I mean, it was just the awfulest mess ever was. Looked like something had broke the trees, and trees that big around, just limbs and dirt and mud. I mean, it looked like acres. And I said, what in the world has happened here? Deborah said, they had the bus kids picnic. I said, well, that's probably true. That's probably true. And you know what? There's a difference after them bus kids pass through. If you don't believe it, come in here in about an hour after service is over this morning. There's a difference when a parade comes through. There's a difference when a hurricane passes through. There's a difference. And let me tell you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. There's a difference when Jesus passes by. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. The old song says, I cannot explain it, and I cannot tell you why, but oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. He passed by my life when I was 18 years old, and I'm telling you, there's been a difference ever since. I've not been all I could have been. I've not been all I should have been, by no means. But there's always been a difference since Jesus passed by. I can't explain it, and I cannot tell you why. But oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. I'm going to talk about that this morning. You know, you think about Jesus passing by. I'm just going to give you some illustrations in the Bible of people that were different when Jesus passed by. And if you know He's ever passed by you, you've been different. If you've ever been saved, there's a difference in your life. There's a difference in your heart. You may wobble, you may hit the ditch and clean out some mailboxes, wind up in the mud hole, but I'm telling you, there's something down inside you that will never, ever, 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 ever be the same if Jesus has passed by your life. You see, a lot of people say, well, what do you get out of going to church? If all we got out of going to church was coming in here, studying the Bible, and seeing each other, I wouldn't even come. I wouldn't bother. I wouldn't waste my time doing it. You know what makes this thing good? Is He's here. And He's real. And the Lord's here today. And brother, you can have a difference in your life this morning when He passes by. Well, that'd be my prayer that He'd pass by you this morning. There's a man in the Bible named Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And the Bible said that he was a ruler of the Jews. This man was a ruler of the Jews, very religious. There wasn't a stricter bunch of people in the country, the world, than the Pharisees. And boy, old Nicodemus, he heard about Jesus, and Nicodemus was very religious, but he knew there was something different missing down on the inside. See, a lot of people think these religious people you see on TV, and these guys that walk around in all this religious-looking clothes, robes down to the floor, carrying candles, having crosses, walking down aisles. That's the way Nicodemus was. Very religious. Extremely religious. I mean, they had more rules than you could keep. I mean, you could eat without washing your hands. That'd do me in right there. I'd eat all kinds without washing mine. And they you couldn't walk but so far. You couldn't do but so much. But they did not believe the Bible half of it, and didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And ladies and gentlemen, they didn't believe. Jesus spoke to them one time, and He said, "Old fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." We believe everything in this Bible as Christians.
I believe every bit of it. I believe every bit of it. Somebody said, well, they found out this discovery, and this discovery proves the Bible is true. Well, that's a big deal. We all knew the Bible was true. Every once in a while, you see some Christian, they'll come running in, and they'll come running in and say, guess what? They found something over in the Dead Sea, and they found this Dead Sea, and it's just like the Bible. See, that proves the Bible's true. We go, where you been for the last 20 years? Listen, we know the Bible's true. It don't matter what they found in the Dead Sea. Somebody said they found Noah's Ark. I said, really? They said, don't that increase your faith? No. I mean, I like Charles Ward. Old Charles said on the radio one day, I was listening to it. He said, bless God. He said, some of them went over and said they found Noah's Ark. And they thought we'd be real happy about it. He said, I believe Noah's Ark was there before they ever found it. He said, I don't care, bless God, if they found the Ark and they found Noah in it and he was froze stepping a blessed crowbar. He said, I'd still believe the Bible anyway. That's the way I am. I said, amen, brother. I don't care if Noah was in there. I'd still believe if they never found it, wouldn't you? We believe the Bible. It don't matter what they find or what they don't find. If they found evidence there wasn't no ark, I'd still believe there was one. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's why you know Jesus passed by your life. But anyway, old Nicodemus, he was a religious man. Lord, he was religious. I mean, boy, he kept strict laws, but he didn't know the Lord. And when that Bible said, listen to this, the Bible said by night, Nicodemus came to Jesus. That's very significant. Somebody said he came at night because he didn't want the other Pharisees seeing him talking to the Lord. That may be true. Some people said he came by night because he was a busy man and just didn't have time to do that. That may be true. But I believe the Spirit of God put that in there to show us that everybody who comes to Jesus comes by night. Everybody who comes to the Lord comes in darkness. I was in darkness the night he found me. I was in darkness the night I came to it. I'll never forget the night I come to it. I mean, I'm talking about Nicodemus, but I can't help but think of the night that I came to it. I'm glad I came to it. And ladies and gentlemen, let me make an announcement this morning. I'm old Brother Danny. I'm full of faults and failures, but there's one thing I've got right. And that's the night I came to Jesus as a sinner. He saved my soul, washed my sins away, wrote my name in the book of life, and ain't enough devils in Boston to get it out. I'm glad Jesus passed by me. Oh, what a difference. What a difference. Listen, we ought to be excited about just being saved. Just being saved. Just being saved is enough to be happy about. Now somebody said, well, I just don't see what's all the excitement about. And you'll watch The Price is Right, I guarantee you. They'll get on there and cut three flips, jump up and down, clap their hands, act like a fool just because they won some luggage. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Here we are sitting here this morning, our name's in the book of life. We're going to heaven when we die. Hell proof, heaven bound, with a hammer down. We're the happiest people in the world. Amen. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he came to the Lord, and he said, good master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Wrong way to approach him. You don't come to Jesus as good master. You master is the wrong thing to call him. He's Lord. He's Lord. Master is what Judas called him. Master is not the right approach. Lord is the approach. The Bible said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Master, no sir. The Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Master, Lord, no. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, Jesus Christ. You must confess Him as Lord. You want to get saved today? I tell you how to get saved this morning right here in this church. You get down on your knees, you don't even have to do that. But you get on them in your heart. And you come before God and you say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Christ died for my sins on the cross of Calvary. I believe that He rose the third day, that He's coming back again. I want to be His child, and the Lord God Almighty will save you right here in this service today. Nobody's the same after He passes by. Nicodemus said, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And the Lord looked back at him and said, I'm not impressed at all, son. You must be born again. And Nicodemus said, but how can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And he said, no. That ain't what I'm talking about. That which is born of the flesh, little baby, is flesh. That which is born of the spirit, an adult getting saved, is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Ladies and gentlemen, let me reinforce it to you. I know that our politicians are trying to tell us that all religions are the same, so that we can apologize to the terrorists and they won't be mad at us. I know that all of them are trying to say they're not, everybody's going to the same place. Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. You say, what if somebody sincerely believes in Buddha and never born again? They can't go to heaven. According to Jesus. According to Jesus. I didn't write it. I'm just a preacher. I just preach you what he says. He said, I don't believe that. Well, you just cut yourself out. You cut yourself out. Jesus said you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, what in the world? And he said, a man in there said, well, he said, you must be born again. And Jesus began to talk to him. And I believe Nicodemus got born again that night. I believe he went home and told his wife. He said, listen. He said, honey, what the hand is to the lute, what the lips are to the flute, what the water is to the sea, that's what Jesus is to me. And she said, Nick, you're a religious man. He said, my religion done got thrown out the window. I met the Lord Jesus. And she said, well, what about all your good deeds? He said, all my righteousness is filthy rags. I met the Savior tonight, and I'm a saved man. Nothing was ever the same with Nicodemus after Jesus passed by. We see another woman of Nain. Have you ever heard of what we call the woman, the widow of Nain? The widow of Nain was over there, and the Bible says that this widow had lost her son. Her young boy died. I don't know how old he was. Maybe 10, 11, 12 years old. And her boy had died. And they was on their way to the funeral. Now it says she was a widow, so her husband had died. She had lost her husband, and she lost her son. So both of them died. And now she thinks, on the way to this funeral, here I am, my husband died, here I am, now my boy's died, what in the world am I going to do? You talking about having a bad day? She was having a bad day. They was on their way to the funeral. I mean, all the camels, all lined up. One of them had a box, like about that thing right there, had that little boy's body laying in it. All them camels had their headlights on, had the cop. Camel go up in front of them. So everybody pull over. They all had on black. And there was a running up, walking up through there on them camels. And I guarantee you, she was sad. And she was sad. And the tears were flowing down her cheeks. And she said, this is an awful mess. I never dreamed that my son would die after my husband died. I never dreamed her heart was broken. But about that time, she looked over like that and saw somebody coming. Jesus passed by. And here he comes, just walking over there like that. And the Bible says he walked over there like this and just walked up to that funeral procession like that and touched that box. And when he touched that box, the lid flew open and that little boy sat up like that and opened his eyes and said, I'm starving. Let's go get some. And she said, well, come on, honey. We went to McDonald's and, buddy, they had an office fast shouting time ever was. They had a great time in the Lord. You know why? Because nobody's the same after he passes by. Old funeral director up here on that front camel swallowed his cigar. I'm telling you what, son, I can see him. I mean, he walked back in that office right there. So then, from now on, Myrtle, make sure they're dead. That's the third time this month that's happened. I mean, he lived like Ted Kennedy, brother. I mean, he like went out. And I'm telling you something, brother. Listen, it's awful. I mean, nobody ever died when he was around. And as a matter of fact, you couldn't stay dead when he was around. What a difference. Now, think about this now. Think about this. You went from going to the bury your boy to McDonald's having a great time. That's a difference, eh? Is that a difference? You been going to a funeral? Oh, I'm never going to see him again. Oh, honey, here, you want some more? I bet she got him an Oreo McFlurry, brother. I'm telling you, I ain't kidding you. I'm telling you, I bet that kid got whatever he wanted, don't you? And I bet when Sunday comes, she took him wherever Jesus was and heard some good old-fashioned Bible preaching. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, the best thing you can do for your kid or your child, your boy or girl, get them where Jesus is. Let him pass by. That's why it does make a difference where you go to church. People say, well, one church's good as another. You have lost your mind, too. I'm telling you, you better go where Jesus passes by. That's like saying, well, one restaurant's good as the other. It ain't neither. Churches are just like restaurants. You ever been to a restaurant? And the sign's up there, somebody just painted it with a paintbrush. And there's grass growing up the parking lot, and two cars there, and one of them's the owner. And you walk in there, you know, flies coming in like that. Here comes a waitress out like a blowing. I've seen one, this is awful, I've seen one fixing food, hamburgers like this, and reach down in here and start scratching like that. I saw it happen. He said, what'd you do? I said, God, please bless it and eat it anyway. Thank you. You say, I wouldn't eat that. They ain't no telling what you eat. Them kids in Marion, brother, when we get beaten basketball, all the boys that work at McDonald's, the other I would not dare go through there if I was the other team. So they felt like that, spit on their hamburgers, slapped that there and served it to them like that right there. Man, how got me talking off on all that? What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. About the restaurant. She comes out like this, got her thumb in your soup. Sets it down there. Her hair's hanging out. You say, what's the fly doing in my soup? She said, I think that's the backstroke, sir. I'm telling you, that's bad. You say, Lord, I ain't never going back here. Me and my girls, we was at a restaurant near here, very near here, one Sunday, right after church. We were sitting in this little room. We were sitting in there like this. And one said, Daddy, Daddy. So one said, look. And there was a mouse trap right below us with the dead mouse in it flipped over upside down. And all you could see was his belly and his tail sticking out. My girl started going. I said, look. Look at the good side. He's dead. He ain't in our food, thank God. He said, I'm not eating in a place like that. Our restaurant's got rats. Eventually, anywhere you got food, you're going to have rats. I was at another restaurant not long ago, sat with somebody, and a roach started, I was in a booth, man. I was on one side, they were on the other side. This roach started crawling across. You just flip them off, and it's like that. Listen. You say, well, that's not very appetizing. That's right. It's not. Makes you not want to go. That's the way a church is. I bet she took her son where Jesus is. Listen, brother, you know what I want my kids to be? I want my kids to be where Jesus passes by. I'm going to go eat. I'm going to go eat some good food that's good for you and tastes good. And that's the way church is. Is the food good? There's where you go. Amen? I mean, we might not have the nicest facilities in the world yet. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, if the food's good, that's where you need to go. You know where your kids need to be? Right here on this list, right here. I'm telling you something, brother. I want my kids, listen, we're praying that Jesus will pass by at camp here in just about 3 weeks. We're going to youth camp. I'm praying that Jesus will pass by and these boys and girls will never be the same. That little boy was never the same. You can mark it down. He was never the same. Somebody asked the widow of Nain. Said, what's up? I heard something great happen to you. He said, what the mother is to the child, what the countenance is to the smile, what the honey is to the bee, that's what Jesus is to me. Amen! Hallelujah, brother! The widow of Nain. Then there was the woman at the well. I don't have time to tell you all these stories. The woman at the well, brother. The woman at the well. Bible said she came to Jesus. He sat on the well. This woman come. He was going to give her something to drink. And he began to read her mind. This woman had had a sordid past, would be a nice way to put it. She had had a pretty rough life. She had been married and divorced 5 times. The man she was living with was not her husband. Shacking up, I guess she gave up on it after the 5th time. And she said, I ain't going to get married no more. And she was with this man. And the Lord Jesus met her. And, buddy, he began to talk to her. He said, give me something to drink. She said, I don't know about you. Who are you? They began a conversation. He said, if you'd have known who I was, you'd ask me, and I'd give you living water. And she began to start a religious conversation about you're a prophet. He said, go call your husband. The story went, I ain't got time to tell the whole story, but basically that woman's life was changed on the spot. Immediately. She went running downtown, left her water pot, took off running, said to the men of the city, come see a man. You got to meet this guy. They said, you're always meeting men. She said, no, it ain't like that. It's different this time. It's different. This man, I have an idea. No, that's never going to be the same. Don't you know the people in that community? Don't you know all her exes that lived in Texas found out about her and said, Lord, I never thought she'd straighten up. Don't you know they said, I didn't know. Listen, people, that's Jesus. That's what Jesus can do. I don't care what your past has been. I don't care how bad it's been at your house. I don't care if you've been the biggest drug dealer in Burke County. It don't matter to me. I'm telling you, he'll change you today and save you today. That's good news, Lord of God. That's better than rehab. That's better than anything. Jesus will pass by and change you this morning if you'll let him. They asked the woman at the well, what do you think about him? She said, what food is to the hungry man? What raindrop do to a thirsty land? What the leaves are to the tree? That's what Jesus is to me. Blind Bartimaeus said the same thing. What the glitter is to the gold? What the joy is to the soul? What the beauty of flowers and trees? That's what Jesus is to me. Amen. Like a little girl said one time, this man had got saved. He's a wicked man. Used to beat his wife, get drunk, come in, cuss the kids, and kids would be hiding under the bed, you know, all that stuff. And said that man got saved. And he got saved, and he completely changed overnight. Started going to church, started reading the Bible, treating his family right, being faithful to his wife, paying his bills, and everybody. And some old skeptic told a little girl, oh, he's dreaming. Told his little girl, said, oh, your daddy's just dreaming. And that little girl said, if daddy's dreaming, please don't wake him up. Because he used to beat mama and cuss us. Please don't wake him up if he's dreaming. Folks, he wasn't dreaming. It's not just something in our imagination. We're not imagining this. Millions of people all over the world, we're not all crazy religious fanatics. There's something real to this thing. Jesus. And when he passes by, you'll never be the same. I'll never forget the night I got saved. I was 18 years old. I hadn't been to church in a long time before that. Mom taught me right when I was little. And I remember the night I went to church. I sat back there, and that before the preacher ever preached, there's a group of people up singing. And God started moving in that church. One went to the altar, another went to the altar, zoom, 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 zoom. People started going to the altar all over the church. My heart, I thought my heart was going to bust out of my chest. I said, boy, if I ever get out of here, I ain't never coming back. But Jesus passed by me that night. And I mean, I know I still ain't much, but you ought to know me then. The Lord done something for me. And he's still working on me. It really ought to be sign upon the heart. Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part. Amen. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's mighty hand. He's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Isn't that good? He wants to work on you this morning. You say, ain't no way I can live right. I can't change. No, you can't. Not by yourself. But if you'll let him, he'll change you. As this boy came up and Marion got saved one time at church, I mean, he wild as a buck. He come and got saved, and his life changed immediately. And he'd been saved just a few weeks, and I was going to preach somewhere, and he said, I want to go with you. I said, all right, I'll pick you up. And I met him somewhere over yonder, one of them exits on the interstate. And I never heard such tales in my life. We was driving down the road. He had his Bible. He said, I'm going to go to church every night. I'm going to Bible college, preacher.
I'm going to learn the Bible. I want to live for Jesus. I said, Lord have mercy. And we was going down this interstate right over here, 94, 96, 98, 100, 103, 104, 105, 107. And he said, I can point you any one of these exits you want to point, and I can go right off this exit and go to a drug dealer's house. He said, I know where they're all at. But he said, something happened to me.
Yeah.
I'm different.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you something, people. That's Jesus.
Amen.
That's Jesus. I can't explain it. And I cannot tell you why. But oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. There's somebody here this morning. Jesus is passing by you. I don't know who you are. I mean, I know I prayed and I begged him last night. I'd pray a little while and go to sleep. Pray a little while and go to sleep. I looked at the clock. It was 15 to 1, 1:30. Then this morning I woke up early and prayed and went back to sleep. And I said, Lord, please touch somebody's life this morning. Is it you? Who is it here this morning that needs to just come to this altar and say, all right, Lord, I want to be different. Change me today. Because ain't nobody ever is the same since he passed by. Let's stand right here.